today's Tech Help for Churches: archiving, bandwidth, and ending your podcast well. Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Tech Help for Churches. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host. And I'd love for you to join the conversation. So if you could head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, you can find all the contact information there, and I'd love to interact with you. So let's start off, shall we, by talking about when you have files, when you have data, you have a bit of a problem. You need to archive those files. Now, most people think, I'll get around to it. And that's really a bad way of thinking. Let me tell you a story. I used to work in a whole house audio video firm, and that company had an audio server, which was basically just a computer. Yet people would call up after owning these things for 3 years, 5 years, some duration like that, all mad that the hard drive inside the thing had crashed. Now, at the time that they bought the media server, they had a different computer. They'd changed out their computers, but they hadn't thought to back up their data. So they'd rip all their music from their CDs, and then they would put that music on the server and then throw away the CDs. And they had no backup whatsoever, and they were very mad when this happened. But here's the problem. It's not if your hard drive is going to crash, it's when your hard drive is going to crash. So I have just a few tips for you. Tip number one is you need to have more than one backup. Ideally, it would be best if you had three. Two in your location and one somewhere else. Why three? Well, if something happens to one, you still have another backup. So you're always protected just in case it takes you a little bit longer to make a new backup. So that's a very good idea. Secondly, what you want is you want to have them on different media types. So if you have a solid state drive for one backup and a hard drive for another, that's different media types. If you were going to go back in time to digital tape, that would be fine, or maybe even optical discs. Just different media. And the reason that I suggest this is different media are affected by different things. So if your 7-year-old son brings in his magnet collection and leaves it on your hard drive, that could cause you problems. But if he leaves his magnet collection very near your optical discs, not so much of a problem. There, you're pretty okay. But if you leave your optical discs in direct sunlight, you could have a problem there. But if your hard drives are in good sunlight, but the room is well ventilated and all, it could be that they'll be fine. So different elements affect different media different ways. So having more than one backup means that whatever affects one may not necessarily affect the other. Now, you also want to have one off-site, and here's why. Let's say that you have your two different media types, you've got three copies, everything's great, but none of them are off-site. And someone breaks into your house and they steal all your stuff. Well, then you're pretty much up a creek without a paddle. You don't have anything. In fact, I think it's Martin Scorsese that this happened to him. He had scripts that he'd been working on for years and years, and someone broke in and stole these scripts, and he had a backup. It was just on the hard drive right next to the computer, which was also stolen. So you really want to have one off-site. Ideally, it would be great if you could have a backup that happened over the internet automatically. So It's great to have one locally. If you have internet problems, you can always restore from your local backup, no problem. If you've got a Mac, the Time Machine works perfectly well. Or you could use the Time Capsule feature if you've got a one of the Time Capsule network routers that Apple sells. That's fine as well. But it would be better if you could also get one off-site. So if something happens to your location, you still have a backup. So it's best to have three different copies in at least two media formats, and one needs to be off-site. And so I've got a couple of ideas for you. So in addition to using hard drives or different media on-site, something else that you can do is you can use something like Dropbox to back up your text files. That's no problem. But we're talking about podcast files primarily. And when it comes to audio files, you might be okay to back up the MP3 with Dropbox. But there's another product that I've used in the past that might be helpful to you. I haven't used it recently, but you might look into using, I'm blanking on it. Time to check my book. So, CrashPlan. Just opening the book reminded me. CrashPlan. And with CrashPlan, you can use their service, or you can set it up with a buddy in a different city, different state, what have you, and trade backups over the internet. So that's another good way to do it. Carbonite does this as well for a fee. So just think of a way to get a backup, because it really, really matters. In just a minute, we'll start talking about bandwidth and storage of your podcast files right after this. Tech Help for Churches and all the ChurchTechCast.com shows are generously provided for by viewers like you. Thank you. Head on over to patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. That's patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff, PAULALANCLIF. You can support the show for as little as $1 a month or as much as you'd like. Every little bit helps, and higher pledges get better gifts. So head over and see what I have in store for you today. More than once, I've talked to people that have said, I just put my podcast files on my web host. I've never had a problem. But just because you have never had a problem in the past doesn't mean you're never going to have a problem in the future. And that's what I want to suggest to you. I was teaching at PodCamp Cincinnati a few years ago, and someone said that exact statement to me. I just keep it on my web host. I've never had a problem. And that's when it occurred to me. This person was betting against their own success. Now, what do I mean by betting against your own success? Well, it's really quite simple. When you're using shared hosting, when you don't have control of the server completely, you know, it's not a private server. You don't have a server co-location. You don't have any of that stuff. It's just you're doing shared hosting with who knows how many other websites. Most of the time, these companies provide what they call unlimited bandwidth and unlimited storage. But look, there's generally an asterisk, and that asterisk goes down and it says, within limits, it's unlimited. So they expect that you're going to use your website a certain way, and that should take this much space, you know, almost none. And then they give you, like, twice as much space, so within that amount of space, you can use as much as you want. Yeah, that's not unlimited. I don't know how they can get away with calling it unlimited, but it's not. I've heard story after story of podcasters who said, well, I'll just put it up on my web host. And at first, they were okay. But if they ever saw any amount of success, that's when they had problems. I know that in the past, when I first started podcasting, I tried to get away with this, and while I didn't get a letter from my web host, I just was constantly living in fear that that's exactly what I was going to have. And it's not the media file itself only that can give you a problem. Leo Laporte of This Week in Tech, one of the arguably perhaps the most successful podcaster, he had a problem when he was first starting that just the RSS feed, remember we talked about RSS feeds earlier? Just the RSS feed was causing a hit on his server, and his hosting company called him up just for that. And when you think about it, even though an RSS feed is a really small file, let's say it's half a meg, 500 kilobytes, that's almost nothing. But what if each of your subscribers hits your server once an hour? So that's 12 megs a day per subscriber. Let's say you have 1,000 subscribers. Let's say you're kind of successful. 1,000 subscribers at 12 megs a day is 12,000 megs or 12 gigabytes of bandwidth per day. Now multiply that by 30 and you've got 360 gigabytes of data per month, roughly. I'm doing the math in my head, so I might be wrong. But still, you can see how that can add up very quickly, even with one really small file. So you really need to think through, even my RSS feed might be problematic. So I might have a problem where I need to offload that to somewhere else. Now, there are various solutions for doing this with both your media and your RSS file. You could try Amazon S3. I don't think it's particularly user-friendly. They call things different things than everyone else does. For example, like, what's a bucket? I mean, really, they make you create a bucket and then you put stuff in the bucket. I always think of pail of water when I'm thinking about buckets. So while I've used it, it's not as easy as other solutions. Also, the more you use it, the more it costs. Now you might think, well, of course, the more you use it, the more it costs. Yeah, but at first your bill would be like a dollar, and if you get really successful, your bill might be $300. So it can change radically using the exact same service with Amazon S3. So just be careful with that. You could use some other solution. I'd recommend against using Dropbox or Google Drive or anything like that. And the reason that I'd recommend against that is they're not really designed for it, and they don't want you to use it that way. So you're really like standing up, waving your arms, going, "Hey, over here, I'm breaking your rules. Please don't notice that I'm breaking your rules." By doing that, you're kind of drawing attention to the fact that you're breaking the rules. So you're likely going to get shut down if you try and use one of those services. You could, if you have no budget whatsoever, use archive.org. Now, the downside of archive.org is twofold. First off, you have to use the Creative Commons license. That's just the way that they do it. I recommend that you do that, but it's still your choice if you want to go through that or not. Now, the other downside that I think is a bigger downside is there's some question about how fast it is. So it could be that people subscribe to your podcast and they don't get your content as quickly as they should. And people are busy. So if it comes out every Monday, but depending on when you put it up, they don't actually get it until Tuesday, it could be that you'll have a problem with that. So that's something else to consider. I recommend, as my two primary choices, Blueberry, that's like the fruit, only with no E's, so blubrry.com, or Libsyn, libsyn.com, which is what I use personally. And I've used Libsyn for years and years, so I'm really satisfied with their service. Libsyn and Blueberry both sell you a fixed amount of storage per month, but then once the month is over, the podcasts go into an archive system where they don't charge you additional money for those. It's just included to have these archive files. And so when you get new listeners, a lot of times people will go, man, this is a perfect podcast. I love everything about it. And they'll go through and they'll download your entire back catalog, which is great. You want to encourage that kind of fandom. You want people to just be enraptured by your content. But there's a downside. And that downside is that there are other podcast hosts, which shall remain not nameless, that have free services that say, well, we'll let you use this much per month, however this much is. And then once you go over this much, again, however much that is, you have to delete your old folders. You have to delete your old files, rather. So, if that's the case, you can get in a situation where the new rabid fan that you just get can't really get your old stuff. And so you're in trouble. And it's not necessarily the case that there are redirects or anything to even tell them. They try and get 20 episodes that you have recorded and they only get 10, and the last 10 just don't seem to show up for reasons they don't know. And that's really not what you want. You want to encourage people to get as much as you can. So I really think it's worth it. Libsyn and Blueberry are not that expensive. The introductory package for Libsyn is $4 to $5 a month, depending on if you get stats or not. And the introductory package for Blueberry is about $10, but that's kind of $10 to $12. That's around the medium grade package for Libsyn. So they're about the same once you get past the introductory package. So I'd suggest that that's what you go for if you want to use those to host your media and to get enough bandwidth to where your website doesn't get knocked down. Next, we'll talk about how to end your podcast well right after this. I've just released my latest book, Church Video School, which is jam-packed full of information on using video in the church. In fact, the idea behind it is that I could create a resource for churches all over the world to go from having no video knowledge whatsoever to being very conversant and able to use video as a tool in their ministries. So it's all divided into daily lessons that are short to the point. Some are 500 words, some are 1,500 words, and you can just read through one at a time and learn about the different aspects of video. So I have partnered with Church Mag Press, which already produce one of the largest church tech blogs on the internet, and I'm really excited to bring this resource to you with their help. So if you're interested in Church Video School, all the lessons that you need to get, it's very inexpensive, and you can get it by heading on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/CVS for Church Video School. And just go over there and download your copy today. Nothing except for God's love lasts forever. Sometimes I wish it was the case that things lasted forever, but really it's the way of things, that they come and they go. So too, your podcast will eventually end. Now, you might not think right now it will end, but whether it's 5 episodes, 5 years, or 500 years from now, it will eventually end. Maybe you won't be the one that it ends with, but it will end. So, how do you end it well? Well, really, you have three or four different options, and I thought that I'd talk about each of those. The first one is called pod fading. And pod fading is when you really mean to keep going, but life gets in the way. So you might say something like, hey, yeah, I'll see you next week, and then nothing. Nothing. And that actually shows a little lack of respect for your audience. I know that you mean well. I've pod faded myself. In fact, my show that I record on Thursdays, Technobabble, my first podcast, is pod faded at least two or three times. So it happens. But it really, really is better if you need a break, that you do option number two, and that's go on hiatus. So going on hiatus basically says to your audience, hey, we need a break. We're only going to be gone a certain amount of time, and this is when we're planning on coming back and sticking with it. When you do that, you're showing respect for your audience, and it actually kind of gives them something to look forward to. Think about it. Your favorite television show, when it goes on a hiatus or summer break or whatever, you really start looking forward to it. Its absence makes the heart grow fonder. So that's a very respectful way to just take a break, as opposed to just fading and then showing back up 6 months, a year, whatever later. So that's the second thing to do. The third is, if you can't keep the show going any longer, perhaps you should hand it off to someone else. That actually happened with this very show. This show, Tech Help for Churches, was actually started by a pastor named Jeremy Sarber, and he got going, and then he wasn't able to continue anymore, so he handed it off to me. Very good thing to do. That's a lot of long-running television shows do that, in fact. Tom Brokaw is still in charge of the nightly news, etc., etc., etc. So you hand off over the years between different hosts. Now, the final way is sometimes it's just time for something to be over. And there's nothing wrong with it. It just is time for it to be over. So if it's time for it to be over, just celebrate its life and let it die gracefully. Just make sure you communicate clearly to your audience that we're not going to have more episodes of this. We're just going to be done with what we have. And I think that's a much better way to do it. So, let me say one more thing before we wind up. You might be in danger of pod fading if you look, when you're recording your shows, you're running out of ideas. You might be running into an issue where you're in danger of pod fading. You might be in danger of pod fading if you don't have a regular record time and the time between shows keeps getting longer and longer. If something comes up and you mean to replace the time where life happens with something else, you might be in danger of pod fading. A much better plan is to record in advance when you're not going to be there. I know you can't do that all the time, but it's a much better plan. It's also a better plan to have a show in the can that in case something goes wrong, you can replace it. So, I hope these tips help you, and I hope that they help you end your podcast well. If you enjoy this show, feel free to head on over to TrinityDigitalMedia.com/subscribe, and you can subscribe to the show and get all the new episodes as I make them. That's a free subscription, by the way. If you're watching this on YouTube, there's a subscribe button there as well, and you can find out every new episode as I release it. If you've already subscribed and still want to help out, head on over to TrinityDigitalMedia.com/iTunes reviews, all one word. And I've got all the links there for where you can click and leave a review in iTunes. All I really need is a sentence telling us how much you like the show and 4 or 5 stars. That'll help us climb the rankings in iTunes and really help get the message out. Because really what I want this to be is a resource for churches all over the world that they can find tech help for free here on Tech Help for Churches. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. You can drop me a line on email, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. I already said that, didn't I? Or give me a call, 1-877-POD-ECHO, 1-877-763-3246, and you'll get in touch with me. And as always, right below this video in the comments, no problem leaving a message there. I'll get that as well. So if you do have questions or comments that don't pertain directly to the show, you can always go over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and that'll work as well. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with trinitydigitalmedia.com. Go out and change eternity.